The radio programme that's been mentioned arose from the BBC under what I believe the auspices was the younger generation. They had a team of people in the BBC. It all started when the headmaster, Mr. Nicol, told us that there was to be this programme and that we should watch this space if we had any interest. Well, having just completed O-levels, now being the lower sixth student, I and some of my friends considered ourselves to be a cut above everybody else and that we wanted to be in this programme. It wasn't quite as straightforward as that, because an initial open meeting, which I think was not at the grammar school, I think it was at the Howard School, as it now is or was, and the room was packed out. The BBC people went through the basis of the programme, which was that they were looking for presentation on Wellington City as seen by a younger generation, probably up to about age 20, I would imagine. They did. We were advised that an audition would be held this at the grammar school for potential members of a group. What was interesting to us, and formed a bit of a challenge, or formed a major challenge, was that a programme about Lewis in Sussex had already been completed, and the BBC, or the younger generation team, were looking for contrast and what was the difference in the opinions of people in a rural city, call it that, as in Welling, as opposed to one steeped in history in Sussex. So it was that a small group of, call them students, were gathered up by the BBC producer and were invited to take part in the programme, proposed programme. How they picked the people in the first place, I do not know, because I can think of no reason why I should have been picked as opposed to other members in that class. But there were about four or five of us from our year that did take part. Eventually we met the whole of the team, and it was surprising that most of us had an awareness of other people that were involved. The fundamental issue was, what picture did we wish to portray of Wellington City? At the time there were the continued East v West, and also the said lack of facilities of any description for young people. This was a shame, because it seemed to be negative, and most of the writing, or the knocking into shape, as it were, was done by, I think, Mervyn Lloyd. Suffice to say that a lot of what the youngsters put forward was challenged by the BBC, but nevertheless, we proceeded within the guidelines. At the time, there was a pop song, I'll call it song, Two Little Men in a Flying Saucer. And stories about flying saucers were rife. And this formed the backbone of our presentation of Wellington City in the programme. What we had was one or two people with far more vision than the rest of the group, and it was decided that the flying saucer would land on the campus at Wellington City, and we would conduct the flying saucer men, women, whatever, emerged from it on a tour of the town. It probably sounds quite ridiculous, but it was way ahead of its time in terms of ideas and content that the BBC had come across in the younger generation programme. That's as I recall it. No doubt there will be others that would challenge that, quite rightly too. We had a meeting of the selected people. The selection, as I said, was made by the BBC, and we wrote a script, principally by one person. But the script was written, submitted, and then the next stage was a recording to be made. So the music played, was faded out, and the saucer men appeared. There were differences of opinion, and also the ability to persuade people to take part. The most probably thought we were quite idiotic with the idea of flying saucers when Lewis in Sussex had gone with their long history and different type of environment altogether. Who did we include in the programme? I'm fairly certain that Flora Robson, Dame Flora Robson, did agree to say some words or was quoted. I can't remember that, but as a citizen or former citizen of Wollongong City. This was in the very early days of Gosling Stadium, when Mr. Gosling, Rich Gosling, was promoting the idea of the pits, the clay pits at the end of Longcroft Lane, should be utilised or could be utilised as a stadium, and it stemmed from that. It was felt we had to include references to the East v West, or West rather, v East, situation that the town was in, with a railway line straight through the middle. For myself, I was asked to do a bit about industry, probably because of Dornays, which I felt was almost my nursery, and a workforce in Dornays that virtually 100% came from the east side, but the few management and staffing came from the west side. I don't think we had much reference to shredded wheat, as it was then called, Wellgar shredded wheat. After several revisions by the team, the script having been formally approved, although even then there was a question of royalties, and there was some concern that the royalty on the proposed record to be used as background introduction might not be available to us. But that transpires not to be the case. We were told that we had to go to Broadcasting House, and it was on a Sunday, I'm sure it was a Sunday, that we had a coach from Wellingham City to the BBC, and we were there quite early. I would be hazarding a guess now to say it any specific time, but it was a long day in front of us, and it was interesting to then know what a red pencil meant and what a blue pencil meant, and it seemed that there was an awful lot of red pencil on our script, and we just wondered if there'd be anything left. We had several run-throughs, and we had what was initially said to be a final run-through, but that overran the time, the time slot. And I had this strong vision of the producer sitting down with one of his cohorts with the red pencil, and it seemed that page after page after page was being deleted. I survived, but I think I was given a different part, but it was on the East-West. We finished the recording, and we were told that it would be a little while before the recording would be available that afternoon, evening. But it was a unanimous vote that we stayed to hear it.
Yes.
And what strikes me today is when I think of what goes on a memory stick and these little bits of paper. And our recording came in with a porter. And probably 15, 20, even more than that, old-fashioned 78.
Yes.
Whatever speed they were drawn at, this pile of black records. I'm not certain that the BBC ever did another programme like it. I think we would have found out or heard, but I don't know. The final thing over the broadcast was that at school, one lunchtime, those of us that had taken part, in whatever capacity, were presented with, I'm fairly confident it was a 10-shilling note, and that was our fee. And it was agreed that there would be a party, and that would fund it. That party never took place, to the best of my knowledge, but I think we did all get our 10 shillings. It was a case of no one wanted to organise it.
Yeah.
And also, it was such a wide... People who took part up to about age 20, we thought, well, did they click with the... their idea of a party could well be that it was a night down the pub. Yes. I would say it was probably not much more than 10 or 15.
Okay.
Because I remember Terry saying, I've just been redlined. And you've got nothing. It got changed around a little bit. The other thing that strikes you is the amount of time that it takes to do these things. There was some reason why certainly at the time we would have listened to it. I think it went out at about 6.30, or 6 for 6.30 yeah. or something. I know one of the group had a father who worked, I think, in Murphy's, and he lent us a tape recorder, an old-fashioned tape recorder. And so notwithstanding what the BBC did, we recorded it from the tape, well, the radio. Unfortunately, Terry missed the beginning. It was too late, but I mean, certainly I have no recollection whatsoever of additional tapes being made or anything like that. But it was good fun.